Thanks for joining us for this edition of Forward Church Online. Today's podcast was recently recorded at one of our live worship experiences. We hope you enjoy today's message. Now prepare your heart to hear a word from God today.
I want to tell you the story that I heard the other night. Robin kind of has gotten me into American Idol. Pretty good music, sometimes a little whatever, but it's not bad. And so there was a young man by the name of Dennis who was getting ready to perform. And he had had some hard places along the way. And Lionel Richie, being who he is and what a legacy he has developed, legacy, that's a good word, he turned to him and he said, "Can I share something with you?" And the young man by the name of Dennis said, "Yes, please." And this is what he said. "My dad taught me this many years ago, and I want to give it to you, Dennis. What determines a great fighter is not how many punches that you can throw, but how many punches you can take." Wow, I went straight to my computer immediately. I stopped the show, backed it up so I could get it verbatim, each word. I want to give it to you again. That's the difference, ladies and gentlemen, between those who operate in the flesh and those who operate and live by faith. Listen closely. What determines a great fighter is not how many punches that you can throw, but how many punches you take. And it reminded me of the Thriller in Manila. And it also reminded me of a fight that Muhammad Ali had over in Africa when he allowed the opposition to do all what they wanted to do as he played what he called rope-a-dope. But when they had wore themselves out, Muhammad came to the moment and took care of business. Come on, church. The enemy is going to throw all kinds of punches at you. Hello? Listen, if I tell you I can be done in 20 minutes, will you lock in and prepare yourself to stand firm, my friend? That's exactly what Lionel said to Dennis. Oh, by the way, he didn't make it. He got cut. But he has a great future. Listen, the enemy has every desire and design, listen to those D's, desire and design to not only put you on the rope, but to put you on the mat. You must be willing to stand firm. But you can't do that in the flesh because the enemy doesn't function in the flesh. He is a fallen angel. He was an archangel. He was the worship leader in heaven. So he understands what you and I do not understand, spiritual principalities. Sometimes I feel church is a lot like a classroom. Only a few are engaged. I do classroom walkthroughs every day. And there are students that are engaged, and there are other students that are doing everything else but being engaged. I wonder how many sit under the sound of the gospel and they're the same way. Looking straight at the teacher, looking straight at the pastor, but their mind is nowhere to be found. Ladies and gentlemen, we cannot stand firm unless we stand in faith. Luke 21, verse 19, listen closely. All the verses will be on stand. Stand firm and you will win life. Whoa, that's big. Stand firm and you will win life. Listen closely. Stand firm because of his faith. See, everyone likes to talk about their faith and then they want to compete against others. Without Jesus Christ, you and I have no faith. He's the one that gives us faith. Listen closely. 1 Corinthians 16:13. Be on your guard. Stand firm in the faith. Be courageous and be strong. Even when Muhammad Ali and I saw that particular fight, when he was on the rope doing the rope-a-dope act, he wasn't vulnerable with his arms down. He actually had them in a protective position. He was on guard. Ladies and gentlemen, in the hour in which we're living, be on guard. Let me use this as an example. My wife actually sent me a text on saying, you know, you ought to do opposite, but I don't always do opposite. The other night, we were going to the hospital to visit two families, and Joshua said, can I just stay here in the parking lot and keep the doors shut, locked, and listen to music? And I said, no, and then we had a strong, firm discussion. Because just the other night, one of our workers at the school had their vehicle broken into at Beth's Big T and lost everything on the inside. No, do not leave your children, even if they're 18 years of age, do not leave your children unattended in vehicles. Be on guard. Stand firm in the faith. Be courageous and be strong. So, Pastor, what did Joshua do? Take a guess. You know exactly what he did. How many parents are willing to stand, even when your children disagree? Because you're thinking of their future, not their moment. And children and students do not live in the future. They're living in the moment. And that's why many are unguarded. Number two, stand firm not only because of his faith, but stand firm because of his anointing. Not your anointing, not something that you paid for. Hello? Just because you are a tither or you give and you sow, that doesn't put the anointing on you. Obedience puts the anointing on you. If Jesus Christ was obedient, you and I had better be obedient. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 21. Now it is God who makes both us and you stand firm in ourselves. That's what I see every day. No. Stand firm in Christ. He anointed us. Listen. He can also remove that anointing. Would you like to hear the story about Samson? It would take us past 12 o'clock. He was anointed of God. I'll break it down. But because of his flesh and his desire for women that he was not to have, he lost that anointing. I do not want to lose my anointing. I may lose friends, but I don't need to lose the anointing. Hello? Are you willing to stand firm, my friend, in Christ? Thank you, Lionel Richie. Stand firm, he said, my friend. Number three, only have two more left, ladies and gentlemen. Stand firm in his faith. Stand firm in his anointing. Boy, do we like to take credit. Notice how it's all about him? It's not about you and it's not about me. It's not about us. It's about him. Otherwise, you're opening yourself up. And I was walking on the campus the other day, and the Holy Spirit said, the hour of the Antichrist is here. The hour of the Antichrist is here. And I said to him, Holy Spirit, how could that be? And it was real simple. The Bible says, everyone did what was right in their own eyes. That opens up the venue for the spirit of Antichrist, and eventually there will be a person who will be Antichrist. The self-life is anti to Christ. Whew. Good preaching this morning. The self-life. Notice, please, I am not pointing at you, anyone in this house. I pointed at myself. Your self-life, my self-life, is anti-Christ. Here's another little story. This comes from John the Baptist. And actually, they lied. John the Baptist was the forerunner of Jesus, ladies and gentlemen. He was making the way for Jesus. He was involved in baptizing people. Well, some of the disciples who were around John ran off to hear about Jesus, came back to say, there are more following Jesus than you, John. And on top of that, Jesus is baptizing all the people. That was a lie. Jesus hadn't baptized anybody. Faith will not promote a lie. Faith will not lie. Oh, I forgot to finish it. And so John responded, because we're talking right now about how we like to say it's my faith, it's my anointing. But what we're really doing is we're elevating the self-life. Here's what John said when it was all settled and the dust settled. And oh, by the way, all because of a girl, he lost his head. Do you really read the Bible? It's a book filled with persecution and a price to follow Christ. But John said this. He said, I must decrease and Christ must increase. I'm seeing more of the self-life in our culture than I am of Christ. But stand firm, my friend. In what? His faith. In what? His anointing. Number three, stand firm because you're free. Listen, he, your adversary, despises your freedom. Because the Bible says, whom the Son sets free is free indeed. So he knows that you and I were slavery. It's amazing how we have been, isn't it amazing how our minds are more enslaved than our bodies? We think because someone comes from a certain culture or nationality, they're a slave and we're not. We were all born in sin. And we were all slaves. Ooh, that'll aggravate the religious people. Ooh, pastor called me a slave. Until you recognize that you're a slave to yourself and to sin, you'll never come to the cross. It is the cross that sets us free. Boy, it'd be great to have Billy Graham step in right now, because he was all about the cross. It is the cross that sets you free. But the enemy comes as a serpent to see if he can tangle us up one more time in old habits, in old friends, in old things. I heard a report this past weekend as we were visiting a particular family that both the husband and wife are now in a place where they're getting help and assistance, and now the grandparents are raising the children because of addictions such as drugs. Take a stand against drugs and see what happens. Ladies and gentlemen, stand firm, my friend. Stand firm, my friend. Galatians 5:1 says, it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then. And do not let yourselves be burdened, listen closely, again by a yoke of slavery. I am so grateful this morning that he broke all of that slavery in my life. I used to be a slave. Though I was born in the north, I was a slave to sin. I was a slave to myself. How many people will say that? If they're not willing to say it, they've not even been to the cross. Preaching, pastor. Two to go. Here's a great quote in regards to Galatians 5:1. Be sure you put your feet in the right place and then you'll stand firm. Let me read it again. Be sure you put your feet in the right place and then stand firm. I shared it last week and I'm going to share it again. One of the happiest moments as a father of our final child. Thank you, Jesus. Is when Joshua came up to me and Robin at the close of prom and he said, Dad, I've changed my mind. I'm not going to any of the parties. I'm going home. It was like, yes, thank you, Father. He doesn't need to open up the doors of addiction. And there's all kind of addictions. It's not just drugs and alcohol. It's sex and how others are using our young people. And it doesn't show up until they're 25 and 30. And then parents who wouldn't stand up and be firm and be more than just a friend, now they get to raise children. Preach on, pastor. Stand alone, but preach on. If you're not brave enough to stand up for the truth, you will fall for any lie. Let me read it again. It comes out of the verse. If you're not brave enough to stand up for the truth, you may fall for any lie. I encourage you, my friends, stand for the truth. Not your view of truth, the word of truth. Go to the book. Every one of these verses are located in God's word. Two to go, we're almost there. Stand firm because the end is near. I know, I'm sure you're thinking, well, that's because you're older than we are. Man, I've got a bright future, and yes, I heard the video, and yes, I believe everyone was created with a destiny and a purpose, but the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. That's what the Bible says. Matthew 23:13, the one who stands firm to the end will be saved. The one who stands firm to the end will be saved. Well, I want to bring this into play. And we actually have one of our coaches who does an outstanding job. And he shared something with me the other day. Chiefman was the first to score. See, the reason I use relative illustrations is so that you don't get bored with the message. Because a lot of times we think this is outdated. But it's current. It's current. It's hot too. So the other night against the team that we were playing for the championship in the district, we jumped up first, 1-0. And man, it was explosive. But you got to stand firm to the end. You don't win in the first inning. You don't win on the first Sunday of the month. You don't win because you went to church for 6 months. Man, the enemy's playing on the back end. Jesus died on the front end so that you and I could win on the back end. You got to play every day by standing firm in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Listen again, Matthew chapter 23, verse 13. The one who stands firm to the end will be saved. I wonder how many right now who have stepped out into eternity and found out they didn't go up, they went down, thought that they were saved. Why would God violate his word? This is God's word that I just read, not Dennis Weber. The one who stands firm to the end will be saved. Oh, it doesn't matter. Oh, it's okay. Here, let me break it on down to you. All the hell with it. I don't care. I like to break stuff down. You better care. Because hell's all about that. Listen to me. The enemy, listen to me, is all about destroying the glory of the Father. Because he saw it in heaven. He was demoted and removed because he was trying to steal the glory. As my dad used to say, three things you never want to do. Don't touch his glory, don't touch the power, and don't touch the money. 60 years of ministry that my dad handed down to me. It's a dangerous thing to go, oh, it doesn't matter. I stood when I was 15, but you know what? I like to break it down to where you could really get this. Oh, well, just screw it. It doesn't matter anymore. I'm just going to throw it all to the wind. Okay. The Bible says the one who stands firm to the end will be saved. In fact, we really try to stay away from people that are firm, don't we? I did when I was a teenager. I didn't want to be around my dad. Couldn't stand him. Now I'd give anything to talk with him. Last one. Let's go back over it real quick. So Lionel says to Dennis, I need for you to stand firm, my friend. Because it's not how many punches you throw, but how many punches can you take? I wonder if that would be a theological statement. Pretty deep right there. Think about Jesus. How many did he throw? Not one. How many did he take? Go ahead and start counting. You'll be here a while. And how many people spit on Jesus? Why did he do that? So he could get you and I out of slavery. Thank you, Father. I will stand firm in your faith. I will stand firm in your anointing. I will stand firm because you have set me free. And I'm going to stand firm because we know that the end is near. But here's one more. I want us to stand firm because, listen, it's not in vain. Here's the verse. I'm actually going to delete one so that we're done in good time because I know that there's some depth. I know there's some weight to this message because we live in a culture that says, jump on the Swanee and just enjoy the current. But if you're really a kingdom person, you're going against the current. Stand firm because it's not in vain, 1 Corinthians 15, 58. Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of fully to the work of the Lord, because you know your labor in the Lord is not in vain. Did you capture? Did you get that? And then Jesus is coming, and he's coming soon. James 5:8, you too, be patient and stand firm, because the Lord's coming is near. You know, you and I do not know when the hour will come that our lives are complete. You and I do not know what tomorrow will hold. You and I do not know what the future holds. But we do know that we're here right now. But I'd like for each one of you this morning to do me a favor. I'd like for you to put on your glasses, your lenses, spiritually, and I'd like for you to take a panoramic view of where you work, where you serve, and who you work with, and who you talk with. And I want to ask you one question this morning. Are you standing, and am I standing firm enough to where those who are watching know that it's not about the moment, but it's about eternity? And I'm not pulling on anyone's emotional strings at all, but listen, I would love for Isaac just to come back for a moment, just for a moment, because he doesn't want to stay here. He's on the streets of gold. Perhaps, but the rich young ruler asked for the same thing, didn't he? And maybe someone could come from heaven and say, you could really listen to this message. You need to stand firm. And you need to be a light in darkness, because all around you are people that are not ready for the coming of the Lord. I don't care about them, Pastor. I don't care about others being ready, as long as I'm ready. Like some educators like to say, I got mine, go get yours. It's not the sign of a good teacher. Now with your lenses on and you're looking out across that panoramic view, the landscape of your world, how many people in your inner circle, how many people who speak with you, how many people that you have paths that cross every day, how many of those individuals are ready to meet the Lord? This past week, the word for the week was accountability. The final report card has not yet been tallied. I'm not talking about Chiefland Middle High School. Just like students will receive a grade, every one of us who've been under the sound of the gospel today, we are accountable for this message. Stand firm, my friend, in the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ. Stand firm, my friend, in the anointing that he's provided for you. Don't be like Samson and lose your eyesight. Stand firm, my friend, because it's not in vain. Stand firm, my friend, because the end is near. Stand firm, my friend. Coming of the Lord draweth nigh. Well, I'm not asking you to go out into the highways and byways and yell and scream at people and tell them you're going to hell. That is not the gospel. Are you willing? When the lies come in, as they did for John the Baptist, and his disciples begin to tell him, Jesus is baptizing more than you. Are you willing to make this level of accountability this morning? Are you willing to go, I must decrease and he must increase? Are you willing to run the race by standing firm with your commitment to Jesus Christ? Are there those this week that the Lord would burden you to share your faith? Is there someone that God will bring into your life that you can reach out, meet them in a hallway, meet them in a parking lot, meet them in the hospital, meet them in a prison, meet them in a lunchroom, meet them at Walmart, meet them wherever you're thinking right now, and you would be willing to go, hey, I want to encourage you, stand firm, my friend. Shall we pray?
Thanks for tuning in to this edition of Forward Church Online. At Forward, we believe that God speaks to each one of us individually, directing our lives and giving us focus. It is our desire that you would experience Christ and pursue His purpose for your life. One of the easiest ways to draw close to God is by connecting with the local church. Get started today by visiting myforwardchurch.org to find out all the ways that you can give, serve, and grow.